Do you have a problem that requires a solution? Or do you have a question that requires an answer?
Did I leave the iron on?
It's getting hot in here.
Well, you've come to the right place. This is...
I'm Stumped.
Bringing you all the answers.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to us again. We're back for a second series. We've missed you all so much. It's been a good long summer. We've tried to do our best to keep up the tradition of doing our summer segments, but we thought it would be good to sort of leave a little bit of a gap and do a bit of a relaunch. So we hope you enjoy our new logo that we've kind of amped up our original idea. We hope you enjoy this first new episode where we're going to have some exciting stuff in here that we're just sort of trialing out. So please feel free to send us in an email to tell us whether you enjoy it or not. And so that email address is imstumpedpodcast@hotmail.co.uk. Of course, you can leave a comment on our Facebook, I'm Stumped Pod, if you just search that. We've made a Facebook profile for ourselves. And also, you can tweet us. We've got I'm Stumped Pod on Twitter as well. So with me, as always, is your, you know, second favourite host in the world,
Sean Casty. And it's good to see you again, Chris, and good to speak to you, all of you out there. We know we're even more popular than we have been before, and everything's looking quite rosy in the I'm Stumped garden.
It is indeed. With our new house, we can look out of our window into the glaring sunshine across a lovely field of council houses.
It is nice to look outside a window and not see a crematorium, though.
It is indeed. It's not so morbid, but just a bit more of... we're in the sort of run-down sort of house with that hasn't been looked out after very well by its...
landlady.
By its landlady.
Who we aren't allowed to mention, but her second name rhymes with Pitchell.
Yep. Same as the character on EastEnders.
Yep.
But enough of the chit-chat. We will get straight on to our theme, which is travel this week. So many of you will have been travelling over the holiday, I hope, that none of you have just had to stay at home, because that can be a bit boring. But I'm sure you... If you haven't already, you'll be travelling up to uni, or you'll be travelling to see your friends. So we just thought it would be a good start to the I'm Stumped year to give you all as much information as we could, as much advice as we can about travel. So let's, you know, start with our first question, which comes to us from David. And he says, how come when you're driving and you're looking for a parking space... How come they tell you exactly how many parking spaces? I mean, I know from personal experience myself, David, that this is exactly right. They tell you that there's like 500 car parking spaces, and he says, I don't understand why they need to do that. I mean, surely if you're not in a convoy of 500 cars, then you don't need to know. So, interesting question there. Sean, take this one for me, please.
I'm just as confused as you, Chris. It doesn't really make much sense to me. It does get really frustrating, doesn't it, when you say you go out to your city to do some shopping and you're driving along in your car, you see these signs, don't you, normally on the board at the side of the road, and they've got like Southampton Keys 2051 spaces, and you think, right, okay, that's a bit useless information for me there. Why would I need to know there's 2051 or how many spaces, unless I was driving a ferry load of people into the city centre. It makes no sense to me.
Exactly. I mean, another issue that I have, which you know, we can all group together, all of you followers out there can group together and petition this, is that in major cities there's no places to park, really, where they don't have a height restriction. I mean, I understand the need to have sort of high-rise, multi-storey car parking, but why build it? So if you have a car which isn't a Ford Fiesta, if it's more of a van type car, which is a more of a family car, that you can't fit into them because they don't let you because you're too high.
You mean at the You mean the entrance of the car park's usually have this, like a goal, it's like, it looks like a goal, doesn't it? And
yeah.
You have to drive through the middle and it's got like a 2-point.
Or here's another thing, right? They have that, which is fine, you know, I can understand. It's just because they built it and it's slightly low and they don't want anyone to do that. But why, tell me this, why do they have the bar that's there, right? You know, you get people, I've seen them, they try and squeeze under it. They're like, I will flipping car through here. And they make the bar out of metal so that you're going through it and then you hear this as it scrapes off all the paint off the top of your car. Surely it'd be more sensible to make it out of like rubber so that, you know, if you hit it, you're like, oh, you know, I've hit something. Or have someone there who's like, you know, watching. So if they hit it, you know, because obviously if you're scraping it, you're probably going to scrape it when you go up the ramp, aren't you, on the thing. But, you know, you don't want to scrape all the paint of your car to realise that you're too short, you're too tall, do you?
You're right about that as well, but you just reminded me of another thing that happens when people usually try and enter car parks. You know, you press the button to get your ticket, don't you?
Yeah.
And it's usually like a barrier that lifts up and down in front of you. I've seen people before in front of me press the ticket for the barrier, go through, the car behind them decides, oh, we can get in as well here, and then follows the car right behind them without knowing the barrier is going to come and hits the roof of the car. keep bouncing off the roof of the car because it can't get down properly, and you just cause damage to the top of your car, which is completely unnecessary because you can't be bothered to pay for a car park ticket yourself.
So really, as for advice, that question wasn't really about advice, but as for general advice to you all, car park people aren't stupid. They're not going to design a system where the barrier takes long enough to come down that people can slip in afterwards. You're just going to end up damaging your car or whatever, and they've got cameras, so they're going to see you doing it anyway, and you've got to get out, and in most of these places you have to put in a ticket to get out, don't you, and then it reads how long you've been there. And then on top of that, about the whole spaces thing, I mean, we can have a fun and joke about that, and it's true that it's not worthwhile, but at the same time, if it's down to about 30 places, then you do want to know if you're queuing up to get in, because then if there's 30 cars in front of you that you can see, if you're in like a really long queue, then you might as well turn around. So then it is useful then. But here's another thing. I've seen it where I've waited outside it, and I've seen 4 cars go in and 3 go out, and the sign doesn't change. So they're not entirely accurate either. So they are kind of pointless until you get down to those last few. So watch out for if it's down to those last few. And I guess it could be useful in some situations, but, you know, it's not really...
It can be useful. Say you want to go to a specific car park, and then you get there and find out it's full. The sign will show you where car parks are free, or have got spaces.
Yeah, but they could just have spaces, or no spaces.
They could. And that the idea of spaces is quite a good idea, when you think about it, really think about it, because it could be applied to other environments as well. Like, how about the hospital? Like an A&E could have like a sign, like, hospitals in your area,
how many beds
they've got free. So you're on your way to you've got an injury and you're on your way to the hospital and you think, oh god, which hospital do I go to? We need to get one to quick. We need to get help. And you see this sign's got beds free. It's got like 2 beds in one place and like 8 beds in another.
So that could be everywhere for like hotels and all sorts. But I tell you what they should do. It should all be available online as like a database. So you could look anywhere in the world and find out how many parking spaces there are in that city.
Hmm.
Like where? Or how many beds there are in that particular hospital.
You think the bed thing wouldn't work because there's never any spare beds in hospitals anymore, is there? So.
No, and they're never clean. But that's another topic. Right, so we hope that we've answered your question there, David, and Sean's going to read us out our second question, and we're going to get straight into that.
And this comes from Angela, and that's Angela in Hull, I think. Is that Hull?
Yeah.
Yep. Angela in Hull says, Sean and Chris, we've been enjoying the show over the summer as always. Thank you there, Angela. And Angela wants to know, she just come back from her holiday in Spain and she's been on the plane and she's mentioned about travel sickness and she doesn't like flying, she's scared of flying, and she was wondering, is there any way make it any more comfortable so she wasn't so scared of flying each time she went on holiday? So are there any solutions out there, Chris?
Well, I mean, if she's got nice friends, she could always, you know, they could always go on a cruise instead or something like that. I mean, you can get to, like, France and stuff by train. You can get a ferry to pretty much anywhere now. You know, you'd probably have to change ferries or, you know, whatnot. It would take a lot longer. But there are ways, other ways of getting from place to place. I mean, if you have to get a plane, I think we mentioned in an earlier episode that, you know, I hate the whole popping in your ears as you're going up, which is the whole changing pressure, but that's either you can solve that by sucking or chewing on a...
On a mint or something.
On a mint or something like that, yeah.
Why are people scared of flying, though, Chris?
I'm not really sure. I mean, humans aren't meant to fly. We don't have wings. We don't have feathers. We're not...
But humans aren't meant to drive, but people aren't scared of cars.
Some people are. You know, you get people scared of all sorts of things. But, I mean, I imagine that if you're scared of heights, then you're probably going to be scared of planes because you're up pretty damn high. But, to be honest, you don't really need to be scared. If you crash in a plane... You're probably going to die pretty quickly. If you fall out of a plane, you're going to be falling, which is going to be scary, obviously. But as soon as you hit the ground, you're not going to still be alive, because God knows how many stories up. And the chances of it crashing are literally... You know, I mean, it's not going to crash. But, I mean, they do all these stupid things where they tell you what position to take. That's not going to help. You're leaning over. You're making yourself that few inches closer to the ground.
Or if you land in the sea, or the plane happens to land in the sea, and it'd have to be an inch perfect landing to actually land the plane in the sea.
Not just sink or break up.
And then you get your life jacket and like the lifeboat comes out and you slide out the plane. That's really going to happen in reality.
If it crashes. I mean, to be honest, if it crashed... probably things would break, because crash is like, you imagine smashing, that's the whole idea of the word crash. So if you crash, then the whole plane's not going to be in such a great state as when you started off. Mm. So all of the stuff that they're like, oh yeah, that seat's just going to inflate. What happens if like the thing that inflates it gets broken or anything like that? Or, I mean, we're probably making people even more scared of flying now, but... If you're going to fly in a plane, there's pretty much no chance that you're going to crash. But yeah, if you do still feel really uncomfortable, you can buy pillows and stuff, or bring your own pillow. It's probably cheaper. Don't buy anything in the airport. Listen to music. You can turn your phone and that on, just not while they're landing and taking off. I don't actually know why they say it interferes with the electrical equipment. I don't think so. I don't think so. Because what happens if someone's got it on by accident? They're not going to go, oh, the plane's not going to fly. You know, I just think it's kind of like they're radioing, and if you've got a lot of signals going in and out, then I guess something could happen. It's just safety and that. So as you can see, with that for an example, there's so many different safety procedures. You'd have to have so much stuff go wrong. Just switch on your iPod and listen to our podcast.
Personally, some of the in-flight meals I've had on planes made me wish the plane had crashed, to be honest.
Anyway, we've had enough questions.
Song Wars. The deal here is me and Chris both create our own lyrics in the theme of the podcast. So this week is travel. So we both got two songs lined up for you. Now you'll be hearing my attempt first at Kasabian LSF and Chris's Under the Weather, Katie Tunstall. Now Song Wars won't work without your help, and you must vote for whoever or whichever song you prefer out of the two, and then the results will be announced on the show that follows. Hang on. to vote, you can go on Twitter and leave us messages at imstumppod, email, or you can send in emails. Emails, Facebook, Twitter, get in touch with us. Which song on Song Wars do you prefer? So without further ado, here is my attempt at Kasabian LSF. You want it, you got it. The tube is on fire and I need it. Come closer, the man on the train's gonna get me. Come on in, step on it. You need to buy a ticket, but it's late again. Where's the driver? He's on strike. You want it, step on it. The tube is on fire and you'll need to step on it. You'll need to buy a ticket, now get on it. Push over the woman who's in your way. And the driver, he's got on, he only wants a pay rise. Oh, well come on, the train is late again. Step on and push through. You're gonna fight them all.
Well, after that brilliant rendition from Sean, it is only for me to say I hope you enjoy mine as much as I'm sure you did Sean's. So here's my rendition of Katie Tungstall's Under the Weather. Under this wonderful city, I can't even hear myself think. The trains are all noisy and crowded, and there's a creepy guy giving me the wink. So the answer is just so simple, I don't use the tube anymore. Instead I cycle round London. It doesn't even feel like a chore, 'cause it's out in the sunshine. But watch where you ride, or else you'll get a cab in your sight. When it's dark out at night, it's still alright, just make sure that you're not alone, or you might not get home. Might not get home. Right, our next question, guys, comes to us from Janine from Yorkshire. And she says, I'm planning on going down to London soon to visit some relatives, and I was wondering, is it better to use the London Underground, which I've heard can be a bit of a dodgy experience, or is it better to get some of these new rent bikes? Sounds a bit weird. rent bikes that you can use around town. Well, coincidentally, Sean and I have just been to London and we've just had that exact same experience. We couldn't decide whether to, use the London Underground or whatever. So we decided eventually on using some of these bikes, which are called Boris bikes, because the Mayor of London, Boris Johnson, came up with the idea. And I have to say that they're a complete death trap. They're heavy, they're cumbersome, they only have three gears, so you're pedalling like a blimmin' loony. Of course they don't come with helmets because they just get nicked, so you don't have a helmet on and you're getting clipped by cabs every few meters cycling down the road. What did you think, Sean?
So exactly that, and the fact that London's not the most ideal place for cyclists, is it really? considering the congestion and the amount of, or the lack of room that cyclists get at the side of the road. We think we spent most of the journey cycling in the bus lane, which is the bus and cycle lane.
Now, we have to be fair, because otherwise we'll get into trouble. We have to provide an equal argument on the other side as well. But I have to say, London Underground is pretty safe. If you get lost on the London Underground, it's easy to get back. You just jump off and jump on the train going the opposite direction.
Do you think it's easy to get around? I think it can be quite complicated sometimes.
Well, I mean, as long as you look at the map and you figure out what way you're going, like whether you're going northbound or southbound, or east or west, depending on what line you're on, then even if you get on the wrong one, then you'll tell it, because it'll tell you the stops, and you'll go, hang on a minute. You know, there's maps on the inside of the trains, and you'll go, hang on a minute, that's going the wrong way, and then you just get off and get on another one, and because you haven't come out of the thing, it won't charge you, even if you've gone into another section. On the other hand of that, though, travelling on the underground's incredibly expensive. I mean, to hire these bikes was £1 for the entire day, and, you know, we must have cycled over half of London by the time we got lost and went past, like, Buckingham Palace. We waved at the Queen. We saluted the flag, you know.
She told us how much she liked the podcast.
She did. And cycled to the Houses of Parliament.
And past Big Ben, over Westminster Bridge, and past Harrods, and
We did the whole of London in one day for £1. Now, if you wanted to do the whole of London on the London Underground, you'd be paying £10, something like that.
Yeah,
you depends will. How many sections you're going in, of course, but you'd probably pay quite a bit, and it's quite deceiving how close things can be in London. I'm not saying they're close all the time, but it's quite deceiving how close they can be. Like all the tourist stuff for people who are thinking of going to London on tourist stuff, you can literally, you, as long as you know where you're going, if you've got a map, you can walk from one thing to another, and you don't need to get the London Underground, honestly. But yeah, I know we've kind of just waffled on about both sides, but I think my advice would have to be the bikes, because just because for short cycles, for short distances, the bikes are perfect. If you're trying to go long distances, then use the underground, because then you're less likely to get lost, and it's safer. That'd be my advice. Would you concur with that, Sean?
I would, and just in case anyone would like to use these bikes across London, they are normally located at the end of certain roads, aren't they? Like in stations. So you go in, you type in your code, and you press code on next to the bike on the station.
Press and then the button. You give the bike an almighty tug, which most of the time doesn't work, but hopefully it will do for you.
Yep.
And then the bike's yours. So I hope that's helped. And
the Dragons, five of Britain's wealthiest and most enterprising business leaders. Over the next 10 weeks, they'll make or break the dreams of dozens of budding entrepreneurs.
I think this is a terrible, terrible, terrible idea. It's horrible.
You need to think through your attitude.
Well, how ridiculous of you to come and stand here and pitch to investors when you haven't got that information.
Good product, but a great product doesn't make a business.
I am going to make you an offer.
The multimillionaire investors have each built up their fortunes from scratch. Hotel and health club owner Duncan Bannatyne. Leisure industry expert Deborah Meaden. Retail magnate Theo Perfitis. Telecoms giant Peter Jones. And new dragon Hilary DeVay, who made her millions in the haulage industry. The Dragons have the credentials, the contacts, the commitment and the cash ready to invest. But only in the right business. Will any of these hopeful entrepreneurs walk away with their money?
Hi, I'm Evan Davis, and this is Dragon's Den. With us, our first entrepreneur is Sean Cassidy with a unique travel device. Let's hope that he can pitch this well to the dragons and hopefully get some investment.
I'm Sean, and I'm here to pitch my travel device today. Have you ever gone on a long journey and needed to relax?
Can I just stop you there? I'm Duncan Bannatyne, for Christ's sake. You know, I run a multi-million business. I travel around the world, like, every week. Of course I've been on a stupid journey. What kind of a crap question is that?
I'm sorry, Duncan. And, can I just show you my demonstration? So you're on a long journey.
No, I'm out. I'm out before you even started, mate. I wasn't in when you walked in. You came in, you just had that attitude about you. You were just like, oh yeah, look at my product.
Well, here's Duncan. I'm sorry you think like that. Thank you anyway.
No, don't thank me. Don't thank me. I just said I'm out. You're supposed to be, you know. Oh, this just... It seems that Duncan Bannatyne has left the building. Things aren't looking good for Sean in the den. There seems to be a sense of disquiet in the den. Let's see if Sean can bring it back together again.
You're on your journey and you need to relax. And you don't really want to go to the toilet. So I've invented this travel compartment. And here it is. What you do is you open it up and you... comes with like a credit card, and you get the credit card, and you go like this, and then you on the tray on your train in front of you, and then you just line it up like that, and you go, and then you close it shut, and then it's wiped clean, it's all clean, and then you just sit back and relax. And I'd like to sell this 80% stake in my business for £200,000.
Hi, I'm Deborah. I'm Deborah. What would you spend this £200,000 on? You know, talk me through your business model.
Well, I've got loads of credit cards at home. I've been selling credit cards, been stealing them off people from petrol stations for the last 20 years. So I collect these credit cards, and then to cut down on costs, I use small bags of flour and sherbet to make them look like they're relaxing when in fact they're inhaling sherbet, and my overheads look good. My revenue is quite good, and I'm making loads of money.
Can we have a look at some of this powder?
Here we go. Yes, I've got a few bags here for you.
Okay, right. Let's try some.
So it's all well and good.
Do you know what? I really see potential in this business. So I'm going to make you an offer. I'm going to give you the full amount. But I want 175% of your business. I want 175% of your business.
It's a deal.
Well, it seems like Sean was able to secure the deal after all for 175% of his business. He sold his wife and kids over for slave trade, but he got the money that he so desperately needed. Sean, how do you feel after being in the Dragon's Den?
Well, I was quite nervous at first, but I soon settled in after taking some of my magic powder. And the money will allow me to buy some beak for the next 20 years or so. It'll help me.
Well, that was Sean with his amazing device for travel. Up next, the man who says he's invented a new lawnmower that you wear on your head.
been another eventful, entertaining show as always. My thanks to Chris.
And thank you to you, Sean, for joining me.
And a reminder that you can email us at any time, Twitter, Facebook, the lot. We're all over the social media network. And fingers crossed, we'll be bringing you new, exciting news of our new adventure on student radio very shortly. So we'll see how that goes. And look after yourself, and we hope you take our travel tips on board. And we'll see you again
next Tuesday.
Good night, good morning, good afternoon, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sean, do you have time to sing a goodbye song before you go?
Always, Chris.
Hey, this was really fun.
We hope you liked it too.
Seems like we just begun when suddenly we're through. Goodbye, goodbye, good friends, goodbye. 'Cause now it's time to go. But hey, I say, well, that's okay. 'Cause we'll see you there soon, I know. There is soon, I know. Goodbye, goodbye, good friends, goodbye. And next week, just like today, Chris and Sean and the podcast will be here to help you on your way, on your way, on your way.
Bye now.